Let me say Merry Christmas to you this morning. It's good to see each and everybody this morning. Good to see you this morning, brother, certainly. Good to be in the house of the Lord. The Christmas season and Christmas Day is fast approaching us. I hope you're all ready. It's here. This time that we celebrate with thanksgiving in our heart, we celebrate certainly the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to read to you one verse found in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, but then I want to go back and read from the second chapter of Matthew, and this is the one verse that I want to read to you. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." Chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, Art thou Bethlehem in the land of Judea? Art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had heard, or when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search diligently for the young child. When you've found him, bring me word again that I might come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus, God, let us say how thankful we are to be bowed here at Silver City Church the Sunday before Christmas, and to come together and to worship. God, as we bow down in your presence, Father, we want to thank you and worship you for this gift that you've given us called salvation. Father, thank you for giving us the best that heaven had to offer when you gave us Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying on Calvary for our sin, that we might believe and have this precious gift called salvation. So thankful, Father, that it's not a gift that can be rescinded. It is forever. It is eternal. It transposes and goes past the point of death. It is eternal. We're so thankful this morning that we're saved. God, as we're gathered together as your people, Father, we lift up that name above all names, the name of Jesus, the only name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. God, I recall that Sunday night at Little Old Goshen Baptist Church, as I knelt in that altar and began to cry out, "Jesus, save me." God, I'll never forget the joy that came into my heart. Lord, when all the heavy burden of my sin, as the old song was rolled away, and all things became new, God, I hadn't got over it yet. 'Twas the greatest day and night of my life, and I'm so thankful. Thank you for saving somebody like me. And God, I believe with all that within me is, if your grace is sufficient to save me, it's sufficient to save the whole world. God, help us understand as a church this morning, you are a rewarder of them that seek after you. God, help us seek this morning as we ask this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I appreciate you being patient with us praying. You know, the story of the wise men, so often as we view it and we see it in our church plays, we got these three wise men that come up, and usually they got their camels or whatever, and, you know, they come and they're in the same, I guess, situation as the shepherds are. And I'm not going to get into all that this morning, but we know that now Jesus is a young child. But what I do want to address this morning for just a moment, God being our helper, how did these men know to look for that star? We look at it and we think maybe that, or maybe a star just popped up in the sky, and they were so wise that they began to follow and, you know, that star. They had some great knowledge that nobody else had. But if you look at where they came from the east. Many believe that in the days that the children of Israel were taken captive and brought back to Babylon, that the influence of those Jewish people was passed down and through the Babylonian people. And these wise men, most believed to be Babylonians, who had heard the prophecies of a coming Savior, a coming King, and that God would send a message in the heavens. I'm going to say this. They were looking for His star. Now, we're talking about 350 or 400 years after the children of Israel had returned back to the homeland. They had passed down from generation to generation. We're talking about a Gentile pagan people, that there would one day be a change in the heavens. And when that change come, the greatest King ever born would be born, and they could find Him through that light in the sky. Let me say this to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It matters what we hand down to our children. This Christianity and this God that we serve and the Lord Jesus Christ and the good message of the gospel must be handed down from generation to generation, because one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return in glory for a people that are looking for Him. Let me say this to you this morning. As they were looking for Christ, there was a message that's been passed down to me from over 2,000 years ago. It came from the words of the mouth of angels that stood on the hillsides of Jerusalem when they said, "This man, Jesus, he shall return in like manner." I don't know about you, but those wise men were looking for something in the heavens. I'm looking for the Lord to return in glory one day, and He's returning to a people that are looking for Him. Are you looking for Jesus? Whether we're looking or not, He's coming again. I want to assure you so. They see the star. And I believe with all that within me is, they saw this star, and there was an urging down on the inside of them to follow that star. They had had all this prophecy passed down. They were looking for a star, and they were looking for a King, and they didn't know what the journey would lead them through, but they knew who the journey would lead them to. And I don't know what we'll have to go through before we see our King return in glory. But I do know this. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He would go with us all the way, even unto the end. And one day I will see Him face to face. There are a lot of people that believe when He comes, it'll be done in the darkness of night. There are a lot of people that believe, a few will know and a few won't know. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord returns in glory, the Bible said He would destroy the wicked one with the brightness of His coming. We'll know it's Him. but they set off on their journey. The Bible does not tell us what they went through to get to where he was. And I can't tell you what we're going to have to go through this next year to get to where he is. But I do know this, the journey will be worth it after all. And what we need to do is keep our eyes looking upward unto the King of all glory and just keep marching toward where he's at. I believe they had some obstacles in the way. I believe they had some things they probably had to overcome. We act like it was a 2 or a 3 day journey. It was done in, you know, just a small, easy task. I want to tell you, to get to Jesus, they had to go through some stuff. To get through Jesus, they had to have a fervent heart and a desire to press through. Is there anybody in the house of God that's got a fervent desire to see the Lord one day after a while? Is there anybody willing to press through some stuff just that you might see him? Remember the words of Stephen as he died. What did he say? He said, "I see Jesus." Glory to God, church. One day after a while, all of our fears are going to melt away. All of our anxieties will drop to the ground. We shall see him. And in times like these that are unlike any time that I've seen in my lifetime, I am looking for Jesus. Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like? Have you ever thought about how one day we're going to hear the trump of God? The Bible said we wouldn't prevent those that are asleep. You realize there's going to be a home going like we've never seen for just a little while. When the Lord returns in glory, he's going to bring those that are in his presence. They're going to be in a new glorified body. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we shall see him. Well, we know from this second chapter, they had to get through some liars. See, King Herod, he wanted to find out where this baby was to be born, and there was one of the greatest slaughters of young children. And I look at what so many are doing today. And when he came, there was a great slaughter of innocent blood, or shedding of innocent blood. And that same thing is repeating itself in the day in which we live. Surely the coming of the Lord is nigh. Their politicians were liars too. They went to Herod. They went to Jerusalem and found King Herod. And King Herod said, "Whenever you find him, tell me where he is. I want to come worship him." And that king sought one thing, and that was to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ, to destroy this child that we're talking about. How many of you know the preeminence of God and the power of God is greater than anything that man has to offer? There was nothing he could do to take the life of that child, because that child was a son of God, and by the way, he's from everlasting to everlasting. And so they hear this and they make their way toward Bethlehem. And there's a star that's leading them, a light in the sky that's leading them along the way. And all they have to do to be going in the right direction is follow the light. Jesus said that he as long as he was in the world, was the light of the world. And now we, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, ye are the light of the world, brothers and sisters. Let's leave people something worth following, something that'll lead them to Jesus. They got to the place and that star stood still in the sky. Brothers and sisters, don't you know, the Bible said they rejoiced with joy in their hearts. Do you remember what it was like when you wanted to be saved and God had never really dealt with you, and finally you got to that place to where conviction had come and you realized that you were lost and undone, and you remember how all that felt? But do you remember what it was like the very moment you came into the presence of the Lord? Our hope for a lost sinner, when they kneel down to the altar, kneel down wherever they kneel and pray to be saved, is not that they come into the presence of the church, it's that they come into the presence of the Lord. They brought a woman to Jesus one time, taken in the very act of adultery, threw her down before him and said, our law says that such one must die. What say ye? And he reached down and he stooped down and drew in the sand as though he never heard him. And they asked him again, what say ye? And he said, okay, he who is without sin, let him first cast the stone. And all you could hear was the sound of the rock dropping to the ground, and what was left was her and him. And what it comes down to, really, when you come down to it, we can pray for them, we can do our best to lead them to Jesus, but it's between them and Christ. And my hope for you, if you've never been saved, is that you'll get along with Jesus. And he said, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, Lord, I have none. Neither do I accuse thee. Now go and sin no more. Here they are. They come in. They come in to the place where the child Jesus was. I don't know how many there were. The Bible doesn't tell us. We know they were more than two because it uses the word men. We know it's plural. And they've got gifts to bring to him. Let me ask you this morning, what do you have? Christmas time, you know, there's nothing worse than when somebody gets you a gift and you don't have nothing for them. Have you ever had that happen? And you start with, oh, well, I forgot it. Or, you know, you try to cover that. Some, I hope you don't lie. And there's shame in that. You don't have nothing. They've done this for you and thought enough of you to get you something. You don't have nothing for them. What can we bring Jesus that he don't already have? My mama and daddy got about everything in the world. And when it comes Christmas time and we go around and, it, you know, you want to get them a perfect, that's my mama and my daddy or my wife, my children's the same way. You want to get them a perfect gift. What do you get? In this society now, we need something. We just go out and buy it. We're a people that really have everything for the most part. What do you get for somebody that's got everything? And the Lord owns the cattle of a thousand hillsides. And so the first one comes into his presence and kneels down, and he's got gold, or maybe there's more than one, and they lay before him gold. Now I want to talk to you for just a second about that gold. That gold is the most precious element on the face of this earth. So valued and so valuable. It refracts the light. It shines like nothing else. It is one of the purest of the elements. Thank God that gold represents who Jesus is to us. Unto those of us who believe, he is precious. He's more precious than silver or gold, which perishes. Thank God in Christ, we have something more precious than gold. He told the church of Laodicea, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. One thing about gold, the more you heat it, the purer it gets. Is there anything more pure than the love of God in Christ? Can anybody say he's pure and he's precious? And then the second one comes, and he's got frankincense. And frankincense was made from the gum of certain trees that were aromatic or had a really sweet smelling fragrance. It was, you know, they would use that when the priest would offer incense in the Old Testament. He would use frankincense, the gum of a tree. They would burn it and it would give off a beautiful smell and a beautiful smelling savor throughout the room. Remember the woman with the alabaster box, and she knelt down before the Lord and she broke it open and poured it upon his feet. I'm telling you this, my brothers and sisters, when the Lord gets in the matter, there's nothing that smells sweeter. There's nothing that tastes better when the Lord's in the matter and we truly worship him and fall down at his feet and offer him the gift of praise and worship. It's precious. But that last one had myrrh. Myrrh was what they used back then to embalm bodies with. I want you to know this, brothers and sisters, that myrrh they would put on the body to keep it from corrupting when people died, so that you could go and view them or whatever, and it would keep them, the skin, from breaking down and corrupting. That myrrh spoke of Christ, and he is incorruptible. The seed and the word of God made flesh, given by God unto us, that we might believe and forever be saved. He is incorruptible. He is eternal this morning. The Bible said they came in one way, and I love this, they left another way. You know, we come to church on Sunday mornings. There's some Sunday mornings like this Sunday morning, and it wasn't Kena's fault. Let me say that right from the beginning. We're running a little bit late, and there are some Sunday mornings we come to church, we come in on two wheels, our hair's on fire, what little bit I've got left, we come in on two wheels. You know, we come into the church and our minds and our thoughts are a million miles away. Oh, we've got a lot going on in our lives and our minds and our thoughts are a million miles away from God. We come in, but what I love about God and what I love about coming to the house of God is when we get in the middle of a service and everything starts to slow down and God begins to make himself known. Have you ever come into church one way and went out another? I've come into church before, Debbie, so miserable and sad I didn't know if my nose wouldn't scrape on the floor. But when God passed by, I walked out a different way. Aren't you glad when we get into the presence of the King, there is rejoicing. When we get into the presence of the King, there's joy, there's strength, there's peace. Thank God he allows us to come into his presence. So they went out another way. The greatest event in my life was the second week of August in 1982. I can remember it like it was yesterday. For August, a cold front had come through, and it wasn't just extremely hot, and I was jumping on the trampoline, and I was just as happy as I could be. And Mom called out and said, "Son, it's time to come in and get ready. Revival starts tonight." I said, "Okay, Mom, I come in." I think she told me to take a bath, and there's a good chance I didn't take a bath. If you got kids, you'll understand how all that works. And we walked into the doors of the church, and I came in one way. I was a 12-year-old kid. I was happy, just a knucklehead, you know. And somewhere in that service, God pricked my heart. He came to me. Now think about this. When God reveals himself to you, you're accountable for your sin. This man by the name of Saul, the Bible talks about in the book of Acts, the Bible said he was holding the cloaks of the men that stoned Stephen. So he's got their jackets and he's watching them as they throw their rocks and literally beat the life out of Stephen. And he's fine. He's done this before. He's consented to it before. He's watched Christians die before. Everything's all right. And then he hears these words, "Father God, lay this not to their charge." And then he hears this, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father." And so he gives them back their cloaks. And I can prove this, and I'll tell you how in a minute. And he's walking down the road to Damascus, going to get more letters that persecute the church. And the entourage around him, they cannot see what's going on inside him. Down on the inside of him, there's a question that has come. Could this Jesus really be the Christ and the Messiah? When he heard Stephen say, "I see Jesus." Oh, church. Our testimony. The Bible said we'd overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He heard Stephen's testimony and it pricked his heart. He walking down the road going, "God, can these things be true?" And all of a sudden there's a light that shines down from heaven and a voice that Saul heard. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Who is it, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." "Well, Lord, what would you have me to do?" Oh, aren't you glad he reveals himself to us? Aren't you glad he pricks the heart? Oh, I'm glad this morning I wasn't on the road to Damascus and I hadn't killed nobody, but I was alone. 12-year-old boy, and Jesus spoke to me. It doesn't matter how that revelation comes. All that matters is that it comes. You may have had your heart pricked by a message a preacher preached. That's well and good. You may have had your heart pricked when you went home and was going to lay down in the bed and say your prayers that night. You may have had your heart pricked in the daytime laying down as a little girl about to go to sleep. You may have had your heart pricked as a 19-year-old woman that was brought up and didn't know the Lord. You might have told people you was already saved and thought you was. It don't matter how it happened. All that matters is it happened. Let me say this. We need to stay out of God's business when it comes to that. Let God be God. But oh, along with that prick in my heart, there was a sweet, it was like frankincense, Wes. It was the sweet voice he spoke. Yeah, I wasn't this condemning voice of "you better get saved, boy, or you're going to go to hell." And if you heard that, that's all right, because the Bible said some you'd have to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. That's okay. You heard God however you heard God. But oh, when the Lord saved me, and I felt that in my heart, there was a check. It was the sweetest voice. It was so tender. Listen, I couldn't put it didn't sound like anything I'd ever heard. It was down in here. But oh, he told me he'd save me if I just asked him to. And you know what? I asked him to. I didn't have no gift to give the king. Oh, I didn't have nothing I could offer him. But he had everything to offer me. And when he saved me, Lydia, I got everything. I'm glad this morning. I may not have a lot of money in the nicest hole. I got a good table coming now. Thanks to y'all. Let me thank you for that. But when I got Jesus, I got it all. I'm going to heaven one day. I'm going to see him face to face. I got a good papa and granny. They done gone on before me. Your little old wife that I love, let me say, I loved her. I loved your mama. I'm going to see him again. I loved your mama. I'm going to see her again. When I got Jesus, I'm going to learn him. I got it all. But why should that surprise me? Let's go back to the very beginning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God or heaven and his righteousness, and all things shall be. All he wants from me is to seek. To seek. If I could say anything to a lost person or somebody that's never been saved, and maybe you're not lost yet, that's between you and God. But I would say this to you. Seek the Lord. Seek salvation. So often he appears to those or to them that are looking for him. Seek him while he may be found. Stand to your feet this morning. Here's the wonderful thing about God. We think, well, we got to just seek him in the church. Well, the church is a good place to seek the Lord. Amen. But you can seek the Lord wherever, whenever, as long as you seek him with your whole heart. God help me say this right. So often, we're waiting on God to do something, and God is waiting on us to seek him. Let me ask you this by the showing of your hands. Is there anybody that believes you were saved the moment you took that first step? Do I have any of those? Hang on, lift your hands up high. I mean, look at all those. Just out of the act of your obedience, you may not have known this, but that first step you took, you were seeking him. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Seek the Lord. Church, my prayer for us in 2021 is that we would seek the Lord with our whole heart. Oh, if you need to pray this morning, won't you come as they sing? What you got?